Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We have been studying this week the names of the Lord. The scriptures are filled with various names or titles for God, where God reveals to us through these names and the meaning of these names and titles different attributes or characteristics about God Himself. One of my favorite names of God we find in Jeremiah chapter 23 and also in chapter 33 of Jeremiah. And it's the name Jehovah Tsidkenu. That word is a Hebrew word which means altogether righteous. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. What does that mean, the Lord our righteousness? If you've ever felt unrighteous or unworthy before God, perhaps it will help you to understand what it means when we say that the Lord is our righteousness. This name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, identifies God as being the source of your righteousness if you are in relationship with Him through being born again, through a relationship with Jesus Christ, accepting the work of Jesus and His shed blood on the cross and His resurrection power for you, that He died for your sins, that you might be set free and be in right relationship with your Heavenly Father. If you've made that decision, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've accepted Jesus' work on the cross as being payment for your sins and restoring you to right relationship with the Father, then this name should be very significant to you. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Why is it that many Christians, though they know that Jesus lives in their heart, they have the Spirit of God residing inside of them, they will go through periods of time where they will feel very unworthy or they'll be plagued with feelings of unrighteousness because of a lack of understanding, a lack of revelation about what the Word of God says about your position in Christ once you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you can easily be deceived by Satan about your position in Christ, about your righteousness. Satan will point out things that you do wrong, sins that you commit, and say, hey, what kind of Christian are you? You're no Christian. Look at how righteous you aren't. Look at your lack. Look at your sin. Trying to get you to put your head down and go through life, I'm barely worthy to be called a Christian. Those are the attempts of the enemy of your soul to get you away from the truth of God's word. God calls Himself the Lord our righteousness. That means that He has taken that assignment of being our righteousness. And what does that mean? In Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 24, in the Amplified Bible, I want to read you some very important scriptures that will give you some understanding about how God becomes our righteousness. It says this, "For no person will be justified or made righteous, acquitted, and judged acceptable in God's sight by observing the works prescribed by the law." I'll stop there for a moment and say this. Many people get into a wrong way of thinking, an unbiblical, unscriptural way of thinking, when they think in order to be accepted by God, they have to be sinless in their life, even once they've become a Christian. And the reality is, the law or the commandments, the next part says, is to make men recognize and be conscious of sin, not mere perception, but an acquaintance with sin, which works toward repentance, faith, and holy character. But now the righteousness of God has been revealed independently from the law, namely the righteousness of God, which comes by, this is how you get it, which comes by believing with personal trust and confident reliance on Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Let me say that again. The righteousness of God, which comes by believing with personal trust and confident reliance on Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Since all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and glory which God bestows and receives, all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by His grace, His unmerited favor and mercy, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. This scripture is very profound. It first of all tells us that nobody's going to be justified by keeping the law of God, by keeping the Ten Commandments. You're not going to go to heaven and say, God, I kept all the Ten Commandments, let me into heaven. He said, no one will be justified or judged acceptable in His sight by observing the works prescribed by the law. Though that is God's standard, He has brought us to a place where He's got a new covenant. And He said that it's not a covenant of the law, it's a covenant where you've accepted Jesus. Your personal trust and confident reliance is in Jesus. And that righteousness of God comes by believing on Jesus Christ the Messiah. That is how righteousness is ever attributed to any person. We know in our own strength, first of all, we can't keep the Ten Commandments. We cannot keep the law of God. And because of this, we're continuously in a place where we will sin, and then what would we do? If we did not have Jesus, we would be lost forever because Jesus is our righteousness. But without Him, if we break the law, then we're apart from God forever. And yet Jesus came and He made a way so that we could have His righteousness credited to us. And that's if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Messiah, if you have faith in Him. That's how you're justified or made righteous before God. It's not by your works. So I want to say to you, if you've struggled with feeling unworthy or unrighteous, Jehovah Tsidkenu is your answer. The Lord, our righteousness. Let's take a look at an example from Scripture, and it's the story of the prodigal son that we find in Luke chapter 15. Starting at verse 11, it says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they went and began to make merry." Let me point out a few things from this beautiful parable. God calls Himself Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And this is beautifully demonstrated here in the story of the prodigal son. The father is a representative or a symbol of God the Father. The prodigal son here is any sinner who has gone far from God and now is coming back and crying out for mercy to God. And as the prodigal son said, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I have sinned against heaven and against you." So he admits his sin, he repents, he recognizes that he was wrong, and he turns to the father. And what does the father do? The father doesn't make him go work in the pig pen until he has worked a certain amount of time and earned the father's favor again. And yet many Christians act like that when it comes to God. They feel like they have to go and earn God's favor because they have been so bad. The reality is, God has provided a way for you to be made righteous and to be restored to relationship with Him, and it's not through your own works. It is very simply through His grace and love for you. The father here in this story restored the son completely, even though he did not deserve it. He completely gave him unmerited favor, grace, and love. First of all, we see him asking for the best robe in the house. That was a robe that was set aside for special events, for special occasions. You could say it would be like what a person would wear to a wedding, special clothing. And then he covered the son with this robe. That is a symbol of how God covers all of our filth, all of our sin, everything we've ever done wrong. And he covers it with his beautiful, perfect, spotless righteousness. The robe is that symbol of God's covering us, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, but because he loves us and he forgives and he's merciful. He covers us with his robe of righteousness. Secondly, the father restored him by giving him a ring for his finger. That ring was always a symbol of honor. God restored his dignity. You don't have to hold your head down because you have sinned in the past. When you come to Christ, God restores your dignity. Thirdly, God, the Father in this story who represents God, had the servants put shoes on his feet. Slaves always went barefoot at that time. He came barefoot. He had been in bondage or in slavery to sin. The Father, representing God here, restored the prodigal and took him out of slavery and out of bondage. God has broken the bondage in your life, restored your dignity, and given you his righteousness. Won't you believe him and accept it today? Jehovah Tsidkenu is the Lord, our righteousness. It's not because of anything we have done, but according to his mercy that he has saved us, cleansed us, and made us righteous in his sight. The name Jehovah Tsidkenu. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. That's all the time we have for today. If you'd like further study on this subject, just write to us, and with a donation of $30 or more this month to Hidden with Christ, we'll send you The Name of the Lord is a Strong Tower, a 6-tape series studying the names of God. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.